meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody and welcome. Hi Tony, Christina.
Hello Father.
Hello Father.
Nicholas on the other side there. Well, I did something. I did something that I never did before.
Right.
I'm not going to dwell on it, but I just want to make mention of it. So if you recall last week, and I know everybody remembers everything that I say anytime I come on the radio, I talked too much about myself, and you know, I was going to say, you know, I realized, you know, okay, I'm not going to say, you know.
Right.
Stop me every time I say that. So I decided last Friday after the show, after 8 years, we're 8 years on the radio, right? 8 years,
yeah.
Right?
That's right.
I think so.
That's correct.
Wow. Over.
No, it's over 8 years.
We started in 2008. No.
Was it 2008?
2010.
2010. That's
10.
What
2000,
I thought.
Eight
that's
years.
Like so it's 8 years.
Yes.
So.
Oh my gosh.
8 years. So I had never, ever, ever listened to a show, never, ever, because I thought if I do, I'm going to run far away. So because I saw that little video, little parts of the video from the mass, and I was freaked out by it, I thought, you know, I probably should listen to the radio and just get a sense of what I do or what I don't do or whatever, or put my trust in Tony, who said you got to listen, because if you listen, you know, you're going to, you know. So I, you know, okay, maybe Tony is right. So I, you know, went to my room that afternoon. Towards the end of the afternoon, I was exercising. So I thought, well, I'm put the radio on, figure out how to download it or whatever.
Right.
And I did. And I was horrified. I was horrified. It was, I mean, it was like a freak show. I was horrified. And and I listened to a few shows to see if, well, maybe something was wrong with
One particular
whatever.
Show, yes.
Because I thought, well, Christina sounds great. Tony sounds great.
Oh, no, I sound Nick horrible.
Nick sounded great. Everybody sounded, and you know, and I couldn't, and everything I said was unintelligible. Mm. I couldn't follow anything. But anyway, so by Saturday night, I decided, you know, I fire myself. So I sent out an email to Armin and to the company. And Tony, I don't have your email address. I don't know if you have one or not. But
I do.
I didn't send it to you because Nick would have gotten really nervous. But I said, you know, I fire myself. We got to rework this. We got to get somebody to come in and all that. But here I am. I'm back. Tuesday I couldn't be here because I had a funeral.
Right. So you fired yourself Tuesday.
So I rehired myself.
Right.
Not that I get paid, but I thought, well, I'm gonna work on it for a month. Just work on it and see what we can do. But part of it was, you know, I got to befriend myself a little bit. Learn to love myself.
I think that's what it is. Especially coming off of something like the stream, where you saw yourself and you probably had that in your mind. And
anyway, we're going to not even talk about it. So I just want to apologize if I, you know, I felt like I owe everybody an apology. Like,
and I should tell you, yeah, you are pretty bad. So
yeah, there you go. Okay, so let's just be honest about that.
Father, work on that.
So I make a public apology for all the you know, mispronunciations for all the wandering thoughts. All these buffers that I throw in there, and it's going to continue to happen until I can finally, in a definitive way, fire myself. But anyway, so I'm here, and.
But that's part of who you are, your personality.
That's horrible, Christina. How could you dare say something like that?
The buffers, don't do it.
It's about time he knew, Christina.
It's about time he knew. The buffers. No, that is true.
He's pretty bad.
But that's natural.
It's natural.
No. We're not
for father.
Robots.
But it can't be. Yeah, but not for me. It can't be natural. It's got to be perfect.
See, nobody's perfect. Only God is perfect.
So I tell people every time that we get a new lector. Or whatever, mm-hmm. I said, no mistakes.
Right.
They're nervous as it is, right? They're going to do the reading for the first time at the Mass. Mm-hmm. I say, thank you, Nick. I appreciate that. A nice message he sent to me just now to lift me up. You know, right. You guys are bringing me down. He's going to lift me up. So I tell the lectors as they're preparing for the readings for the first time, I say, don't be afraid. You'd have nothing to be afraid of, but no mistakes. Right. That we want perfection. We want to be fully refined, polished. We want to look really or sound good because we're doing it for God. We're His emissaries here. We're His representatives. So no mistakes. Well, that just adds to their fear, right?
Right.
And I tell them, no, only God is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Only God is perfect. We are imperfect. Imperfect. Some of us are more imperfect than others, you know.
Yes.
But anyway, so we let that go, okay? But I make a public apology. I'm sorry for my foibles and my idiosyncrasies and my and all the stuff that I don't like about myself. I'm sorry.
I think it's about time. This is like 7 years.
So I'm glad you're finally, Tony, after eight years, you're going to be honest with me. You know, you got to be
figured,
honest.
Okay. It's funny because when I came in, I thought about that because on Sunday when you told me, I'm firing myself, thinking about all the stuff I was doing on Sunday, you know, with the kids and just preparing for the readings. I thought, I was like a little shocked. And then I thought to myself, okay, well, when I came here today, I figured, okay, Father is probably going to go on with this and it's fine. And since I'm always trying to be uplifting, I'm going to turn it around this time and say, well, you know what, maybe...
And that's a good thing.
And see, just to see where that goes.
Are you using reverse psychology?
Exactly, Christina. Ah. So Christina knows.
Anyway, we'll just let go. Funny. Anyway, right. I say it's funny. It was horrifying.
It was horrifying.
Okay, so I'm trying to be more organized. So I've got three topics I'm going to try to get to today. Fear the Lord your God. Did we talk about that Friday, by the way? I mean, even though I listened to the show, I don't remember. I think I didn't listen to the full show because I think I was so horrified.
You stopped.
But fear the Lord your God, keep the commandments.
It's always good to hear again. Well, I don't think we...
Because maybe I want to use that as a segue into this other thing that I read, which is, so the bishops are gathering in Maryland, I believe, for a summit or whatever they do. And there's an interesting article that I read. This is a cry of the heart to the bishops, to our bishops, please restore order to the church. And I like that. I thought this was this Monsignor Pope. It was very good. So I'm trying to get to that. And then the other thing is the road to hell, speaking of hell, is paved with indifference. We try to get to that as well. So those are three things, okay? Mm-hmm. So I've got three topics that I want to try to address today. Well, the first one, fear the Lord your God, keep His commandments. So yesterday, I go to the school on Wednesday, so I'm trying to do this now every Wednesday to be there, visit all the classrooms, spend a little bit more time with the eighth graders because they need it.
They need it.
Mm-hmm. Not that they want it, but they need it, I think. They're good kids. They're good teenagers. I think they're already teenagers. They certainly want to believe that they're teenagers. Mm-hmm. They want to believe they're adults. But I go to all the classes. So I gave them, because you remember, Christina, a couple of weeks ago, I purchased all those rosaries. I purchased all these rosaries. I had no idea what it was going to cost me, you know. And the poor guy from Israel, so I know it was a good cause, you know. And I paid for it myself, you know. Not that I'm not a rich man, you know.
Right.
I better not be. But so I asked, this is in preparation for the Blue Mass. I wanted to have rosaries, and I like the rosaries from the Holy Land,
right.
From wood. Jerusalem, from Bethlehem, the olive wood,
yes.
The cord, so they don't break, and they're small, and they're just nice, you know. They're good for stress. Mm-hmm. Should have one in my hand all the time, even if you're not praying, just to
have
the finger
it in
the
your...
beads, you know.
Yes.
So I said. And I knew there wouldn't be 200 police officers. I knew that. I figured we'd have 15 to 20 maybe, but we had 40. Which was, we talked about that, I'm not gonna repeat that, but it was a nice turnout. And which was one of the questions the kids asked me in the 8th grade, because they have a basket where they put the questions that they want me to address. So the first question I picked up yesterday was, Why did you not become a police officer? Why did you become a priest?
Oh,
that's interesting. Yeah,
good question.
And I thought that was maybe I look like a police officer. Maybe you know I've got the I don't know. But I said I certainly wanted to be a pilot.
Right.
I was in the Civil Air Patrol. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's another thing. See, here's how I deviate. So when I ordered extra rosaries, right? So I said I'm going to order 200. Rosary. So I told Christina, you know, right away, you know, because it's always everything is last minute, my fault.
That's how it is with everybody.
Right, that's how it is.
So I said, please, you know, call and see if we can get these rosaries. I want to get 200 rosaries. I'll pay for them and, you know, have them. So I have some extra that I can give to people as gifts and all that.
Right.
And so they came and they brought the whole assortment and we picked out the ones I wanted. And then I had to pay the bill. So I wanted 200. Well, I'm not going to tell how much it cost, but I was floored. You couldn't tell, could you, Christina? But because he said, "Is that okay, Father?" You know, and I'm not one of these guys that's going to say, "Hey, can you bring the price?" You know,
right? Bring it down a little bit.
Because I know it's these are people who have been basically forced out of Bethlehem, out of the Jerusalem, because of all this goes back some years when they had all the violence and all that, and so they depended on the pilgrims who would buy the sacramentals, rosaries, medals, religious articles, and all that. So anyway, I ended up paying for 200, you know, a good amount of money for 200.
And they'll be back this weekend, actually.
They're coming back this weekend, so maybe I can resell them. Give them back. No, I want them. Actually,
right. You never know.
Well,
it's good to have them.
So this is why it's worth it, because yesterday when I went to the school, I thought, well, my gosh, I got all these rosaries. I'm going to give every child a rosary, and also the prayer card of Saint Michael the Archangel. Yes.
Wow, that's nice.
So they'll be happy to see me for sure, and they are. The kids were. By the way, so the other thing I did is I purchased the movie, The Miracle of the Sun. The story of, have you seen that?
I don't think I've seen it.
Everybody should see that.
Beautiful.
I remember when I was a child, I was so inspired by that. It's the movie that dates back to the 1950s. And I saw it as a child when I was a boy. And it really inspired me. It was a beautiful movie. It's about the story of Fatima, the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima to the three children. It's a beautiful movie. So I purchased a movie, got it. I took it there last week, so
they were able to start to see. You bought the original, because there's the remake of the movie. So you bought the original.
The original,
yeah. I think the original.
I saw the remake. I didn't like it.
No, I prefer the original.
Yeah, I couldn't even get into it. The original is very good. So I went there yesterday and they didn't get to see the whole thing because they saw it at the end of the day, and so they had to stop at a certain point. But the kids loved it. They loved it.
That's right.
And so it was appropriate because I hadn't put two and two together. So I said, well, what did Our Lady say? What did she tell the children that she wanted them to do? You know, and they had to think about. We got to pray for conversion. We got to pray for peace. I said, how do you do that, though? What does she tell you to do? Pray the, because I think that's with the littler kids. I said, beads. I said, the rosary. We got to pray the rosary. I said, that's right. So everybody got there. But they were so happy to get the rosaries.
That's a good way of introducing.
Absolutely,
I mean, it's bad enough that you have to do it to the older people, but you don't need to start with the little kids.
The kids are so receptive.
Yeah.
The little ones.
They were so excited, so happy to get the rosaries and you know, one little kid said, "Gimme, gimme." I says, "What do you say? You don't say gimme. You say, may please. I please, may I please? Yeah. Yeah.
Gimme, gimme, gimme."
So, but they, it was very nice. But in any case, it made me think about how powerful for a child, how powerful that is. You know, these the rosary, the crucifix, when they come to the church, and just the religious signs and symbols and the things we do, it leaves an impact in the mind and the hearts of these kids, these children. And you never forget that, or in a dark time, you go back to that, you know, you remember.
And even though the adults might think, oh, they're not, it's going over their head, they're not paying attention, they are. And as you just said, even if when they get older, they sort of like fall off, go somewhere, right. Distractions and all that.
Right.
It's there. The seeds are planted.
Well, you certainly hope the hope is that the eighth graders, especially, because their posture, the attitude, you know, it's just like, you know, they ask the questions, so I'm answering their questions, but they're good kids. They're good kids. It's the age.
It's the age.
Anyway, so how does this relate to what I wanted to speak about today? Let's see if we can cover all three of these things. First of all, so part of the apparition was that the Blessed Mother showed the children hell, you know, perhaps, you know, in an image, in a way that they could understand. Because what is hell? What does it look like? What does it feel like? You know, what is the traditional image we have of hell? What is it?
When I get to work.
There you go.
Fire and
brimstone.
Right. So it's a place you'd rather not be.
Darkness.
Jesus spoke of Gehenna. Gehenna, you know, when he talked about those who would be cast away, it's like being cast into the fires of Gehenna. Mm-hmm. Gehenna was the garbage dump of Jerusalem outside the holy city, outside the walls. It was a place actually where, you know, way back before the time of Jesus, there was the sacrifice of babies, actually. I think it was to the god Moloch or something like that.
Wow.
Malach.
Kind of feels like today, huh?
Well, interesting, you know.
I said it.
You did say it. But anyway, okay, Tony, this is Nick.
The other Tony.
So but then by the time, in the time of Jesus, it just became the place where all the refuse of the city was, the waste was taken, and it was burned, it was consumed in fire. And so Jesus uses that image, and it seems to me that's where the image of hell comes. But the point is that hell is a place you'd rather not be.
Mm-hmm.
It's the absence of God's love, right? It would be the absence of God's love. But in any case, we'll take a break since we get this out of the way, and we come back to the question. Let's relate this to, and if I did this Friday, you know, forgive me, this is a little bit of a repeat, but it's a segue into something else. Because the readings we heard last Sunday, where the readings opened up with the summons, "Fear the Lord your God, keep all his commandments, which I enjoin on you today." And if you don't, my question is, at the end of all things, if we don't do that, then we condemn ourselves to hell. So just having said that, how do you feel? What do you think if I say this? We don't hear that, you know. But okay, fear the Lord. You first got fear God. I thought I was supposed to love God. Why would we fear God? God is good. God is great. God is gentle. God is merciful. God is love. Why would we fear God? Keep his commandments. Okay, yeah, we understand we're supposed to, but do we have to? And if we don't, because God is good and God is great and God is loving and merciful, does it really matter that we keep his commandments? And I'm saying that if we don't fear God, if we don't keep his commandments, we go to hell. So how do you sit with that? Or if we don't fulfill the laws of God, if we don't keep his commandments, if we're not careful to observe them, we seal our destiny in an eternity of God's absence from our life. So what is your response to that? How do you feel about that? Well, think about that, and we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
As the news brings us to the realities of life, there is no doubt that the devil stalks the church and the culture. It is with this realization that we urge you to ask your parish to recite the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel after Mass, and to personally recite the prayer for St. Michael's intercession. Let us pray. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Okay, my dear friends, my dear beloved friends. I'm trying to be nice. I'm always a nice, but I'm going to...
That makes me feel good. Yeah, no, okay, Father, you're not nice.
Okay.
You're not.
All right, thanks, John.
I like this new you.
Okay, good. So yes, my dear and loving friends, my brothers and sisters, you know, I always say I'm your brother. I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. But if we don't fear God, if we don't keep his commandments, you're gone to hell. I'm telling you right now, you're gone to hell. If you don't fear God, you don't keep his commandments, you are going to hell. H-E-L-L. How do we used to say that as kids?
H-L, double toothpick. That's what I remember.
Hockey stick, huh?
Or
hockey
double stick, hockey stick. Or
double
hockey
stick. Double toothpick. Exactly, right.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, because to be honest, when I say that, I'm asking you to ponder. I say, well, okay, how do you feel when I say that? But if we don't believe that, if we have no fear of God, no regard for the laws of God, you know, these are biblical and doctrinal truths. This is part of the deposit of our faith. You don't go to heaven if you have no fear of God. Now, we need to define that, if we don't keep his commandments. Now, what is the truth? So that's a biblical, a doctrinal truth. The truth of all truths, the truth of all truths is that God is perfect love. God is perfect love. Any love we experience in the persons and the things of this world are a mere imperfect reflection of God's perfect love. Are you with me there?
It's a good way of thinking about that.
Yeah, well, it's... I'm sure you think about that every day.
Actually, no, but the way you said it, it is just, you, like I said, I think this is why this should be said. And when you think about it that way, yeah, it makes so much sense.
So nobody, no love in this world can satisfy.
No.
No.
Even between a man and woman in marriage, between friends, between, you know, I love my money, I love my yacht, I love my... Lamborghini, what is it called?
What's Lamborghini.
That? Yeah, I love it, you know. Yeah, I got all these. You guys didn't know that I have all these things. No, I don't. I have a Yaris.
Right.
I have a little tiny Yaris.
This is true.
The cheapest little car I could find.
It's creepy.
But it's creepy. I like it. It's good for the city.
Right.
But anyway, nothing, there's inordinate love, no doubt. But I mean, let's just talk about genuine love, you know, the love between a man and a woman in marriage, a mother's love for her children, a father's love for his children, our love for life, our love for the good things in this world. None of that is, that's all of that is.
It's all passing.
It's all passing. It's imperfect. It's an imperfect reflection of God's perfect love. And that's why St. Augustine said, and he said it rightfully, that I will not rest until I rest in God. If we do not fear, if we don't fear God, keep his nor keep his commandments, we neither have rest in this life nor rest in the next. This is the thing. If you can bring people to love God, to pursue God, to seek God, to stay with God, to cleave to God, then you give them the possibility for a genuine rest in this world, even though it's an imperfect rest because we're in the battle, we're in the fight, we're in the distress, the valley of tears, the assault of the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit, all that. But as Augustine said, I will not rest until I rest in God. We got to think about that all the time. God's love is perfect. That's the truth of all truths, is that God is perfect love. In our tradition, in the Catholic tradition, and this is something that we, especially in this month of November, because this is the whole month of November, is we call it the month of the dead. But what do we say at the death of a loved one? We offer a prayer of petition. It's a prayer of petition and a prayer that expresses our hope. What is that prayer? Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed rest in peace. So it's a petition, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're asking, you know, O God, give him, grant unto him or her eternal rest. May he rest in peace. That's a request, isn't he? Mm-hmm. May he rest in peace, or she. May his soul, may the souls of all the faithful departed rest in peace. These are the faithful departed. These are those who died in the friendship of God, in the grace of God. If we no longer feel the need for this prayer, feel no longer the need to pray this prayer, because this was just part of who we were, and I've seen in the years of my priesthood a significant change, even when people come to funerals. It's not in all cases, but in many cases, it's like it's oblivious to why this is important. You know, the you often hear the people say, "No, this is about the celebration of that person's life." No, it's that's entered into the church, like many many things. It's not proper to who we are. It's not the celebration of that person's life. It's a celebration of God's life, and it's a sacred farewell. In hope, we petition that the Lord receive that person into eternal rest, into the abode of the dead. Those are the dead who are in heaven, who live. But if we don't feel the need for the prayer, then you know that's not a good sign. It means we live with the presumption that no matter who we are, what we do, at the end of all things, we're all going to go to heaven. This is contrary mm-hmm. to the faith. This is not what the church believes. We would want, certainly, I mean, isn't that the desire of God? He wants to lose no one. We want all our love. Of course, we've got to live with that. That's why we need to be, if anything, passionate about this nurturing the faith and truth. He says that God's perfect love has loved us into life with a freedom. Otherwise, we couldn't call it love. He loved us into life with a freedom that enables us to reciprocate, that is, to return love for love. If not for this freedom, we would be like robots, automatons. Didn't I say this last week? Mm-hmm. We did talk about and our end would be the dust heap of a garbage dump. Seems to me we probably went through this, but anyway.
You didn't do it in fullness that you're doing now.
Okay.
You did it.
All right. Very good. So we're destined. One thing is true. We're destined to share in God's blessedness. That's our destiny. But the choice, it's yours. God has already chosen us. The question is, do we reciprocate in choosing God? The gift of faith is extended to each and every one. And Jesus said, even if your faith is but the size of a mustard seed, it's sufficient to move the mountain. Whatever presents itself as an impediment to the nurturing of our life in God. So God has given the faith. He extends faith. Grace is offered. Salvation is secured. Salvation has been secured. But what's needed is a response. So what is our response? What's your response to the summons that opened the scripture on Sunday? I don't remember what was that, the book of Ezekiel? I don't remember where that came from, but I don't have it in front of me. But that was the very first line of the first reading on Sunday. Fear the Lord your God and keep his commandments. Was it from the book of Exodus?
I read it and I cannot.
Deuteronomy.
It was Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy, exactly. So it'll go well with us if our response is to the great declaration of our faith, which is really begun in what they call the Shema of the Old Covenant here, and it was part of the reading, Hear, O Israel, hear, O people, to you, directed to you who are listening, hear, O my people, the Lord our God is Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And in the gospel, it's repeated in the gospel, Jesus calls this the greatest of all commandments, and he seals it with another. Love your neighbor as yourself. The fulfillment of this one twofold commandment opens the door to eternal blessedness at the end of all things. So in life, in the world, there are forces that work to militate against our right relationship with God. And through human weakness, we fail in our love for God, our love for neighbor, our love for self. Who can say that they really truly love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength? And who can say truly that they love their neighbor? And Jesus says, even your enemy. Who can say that they truly love themselves? As I say, I listen to the radio, maybe try to learn to love myself. I mean, facetious, but, befriend, get comfortable, I guess. So, because these forces militate against this right and proper relationship with God, it's for this reason that God has effected for us a remedy for our salvation. And we've heard this a couple of weeks ago, and I keep repeating this probably on the radio, but certainly at Mass, because I like this image, that this was from the letter to the Hebrews, that we, with confidence, approach the throne of grace and mercy. With confidence, we approach the throne of grace and mercy, which is what? But the altar of sacrifice. And if we're in grave sin, we've got the sacrament of reconciliation, confession. We approach the Lord, the throne of grace and mercy. That's the altar of sacrifice. That's what we do when we go to Mass, or if we go to adoration. We approach not shaking or trembling, but in reverential fear. This is the fear of God, is reverential fear. That is, that we live and we approach God humbly, in humble and utmost respect for the Father who desires to lose no one. So this is a fear the Lord your God. I mean, is there trembling? Yeah, sometimes there is. Sometimes there has to be. How many people have told me this. I've experienced it myself, where you go to the confessional in fear and trembling, which is a good thing. But then hopefully, you know, you get a good priest. But I know that anybody who comes to the throne of mercy, to the sacrament of mercy, and are sincere and repentant, you know, I know that I bring to demise the trembling and the fear. I can hear it. I can hear it in their voice. You know, and they leave relieved, set free. You know, does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, but there, so that's, you know, okay. So if we don't fulfill these obligations, if we're not living responsibly, if we don't have God at the center, if we don't keep His commandments, then it's presumptuous to think that when we die, the Lord is going to say, you know, hey, good, didn't matter anything about who you were, what you did, or that you didn't care about me, or that you didn't care about my people, you didn't care about the gift of life, you didn't fulfill your responsibilities, you were selfish, you were egocentric, you were narcissistic, you were hedonistic, you were whatever, all the isms, you know, you didn't even, you didn't give me even a little bit of attention, and you lived not for others, but you lived for yourself. You think, well, as the scripture says, you know, you're knocking on the door, and there's a voice that comes from the other side. Who are you? I don't know who you are. I don't recognize your voice, because you never, you know, I tried. It makes sense, does it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't begin to think this way, you know, then
I always think about it. Sorry to cut you off, but I always think about it for the people that are in church on Christmas and Easter, and I think about that when you said that. Well, I don't know you. I mean, I've seen you. I know who you are. I created you, yes, but when have you thought of me other than these?
Yeah, have you
times?
Heard that little joke? I tell this joke about the person who dies, and they go, they're there at the gate, and Peter, the gatekeeper, says, okay, let me see. Tony, I don't see your name here in the book. Mm. You know? He says, but I was, you know,
I was there.
I was to the Christmas Mass. I went to the Easter Mass.
Mm-hmm.
I put $5 in the basket twice. I did that twice a year or whatever. okay, well, hold on there. Let me go. So Peter goes to the Lord, and he says, you know, Tony goes, he's outside there, and he says his name's not on the book, but he was there for Christmas and Easter. He gave $5. I think he doubled it. I think he gave 10, because he gave 10. 5 one Easter, 5
exactly.
one Christmas. He gave $10. And so Jesus says, well, here, you know, here's $10. Go give it to him and tell him he can go. Tell him here's his $10. He can go to hell, you know. He can go to hell. Anyway, I mean, that's a bit harsh, and it's just a childish thing. But the point is, don't you think we need to begin to think about that seriously? That, you know, that just this presumption that we can do anything we want, we don't need to regard God's law, we don't need to have respect for God, this fear of God. As the scripture says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of my own father, you know, I had a reverential fear from my father, which kept me from doing bad things, you know, because I didn't, you know, I didn't want to offend his name, but I also didn't want the wrath of my father either. I don't know. Anyway.
See, that's one of the things, too, that I'm glad you said that about your father, because since you've said that, I've always thought about this, and that's how, for me, I can relate to the fear of God, because I always think of, you know, it's not that you should fear a God who gave you everything, but it's the fear as if a son to a father. I mean, your father's there. You don't want to do anything to upset or make your father offend him in any way. So there is that fear that you want to do better.
You know, and we'll take the break, but wouldn't it also, and truly, shouldn't we fear the absence of God from our lives? Shouldn't we fear eternal damnation?
Yes.
The fires of hell? Shouldn't that be a fear that we live with as well? That I, you know, even if I don't feel like doing good, or I don't feel like going to Mass, or I don't feel like praying, or I don't feel like, thinking beyond myself, you know, that I better do these, fulfill these obligations, because otherwise, you know, I don't deserve. Anyway, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change. Your name is 750 WNDZ.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyola.
We live in strange times, full of contradictions, many of which we create and then force upon ourselves. An example.
To hear the rest of this and other Bold Talks with Father Thomas Loyola, visit taberlife.org and go to the main menu and click subscribe.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So just so that we don't forget, God is perfect love, and his greatest attribute is mercy. Mercy. And Jesus says, you know, don't, I mean, again, he's taking love to the extreme. What can I do? What more can I do to convince you that I love you? I laid down my life. I took your sins into myself. I who didn't sin, who was not sin, God, I took your sins. I took it all into me, took it to the cross. And from the cross, I said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And, I mean, what more can I do? I mean, God has taken love to the extreme. His love is incomprehensible. His mercy is incomprehensible. And the remedy is the Holy Mass. We go humbly in gratitude because we've been saved and been redeemed. We are sinners, and so we humbly and sincerely and deeply are repentant, and we say, you know, I acknowledge my need for you, Almighty God. I cannot do without you. So I persevere in this regard. I go in the surrender, the offering of my life, all right? But, you know, we got to respond. This love requires a response. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's not love. Switching gears here just very quickly, but this is an excellent article. And again, we cannot be silent. You know, we've got to take back our church. People are suffering. I'm always reluctant to bring this up. I dealt with this for a series of shows a few weeks ago, but this is the crisis in the church. You want to make yourself believe it's just not there. It's going to go away. No, it's real, and we've got to deal with it. The sooner we are honest about it, we speak about it, we do something about it, then we can move forward with a freedom and really open to. We're not going to block the grace, but. In any case, the bishops are gathering, U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, USCCB, next week, November 12th or the 14th in Baltimore. So I was reading this article by, this is Monsignor Pope, it was in the National Catholic Register, it's entitled, A Cry of the Heart to Our Bishops, Please Restore Order to the Church. Our collective cowardice must be transformed into a clear, loving witness that is willing to endure the scorn of the world to reassert the truth of the gospel. And that's kind of what we dealt with in the last segment. There's a truth that has to be conveyed to the people. Mm-hmm. But the in the article, the Monsignor speaks about the sacrament of holy orders, bishops, priests, deacons. The word order, the implication is keeping things in good condition, directing things or people to their proper purpose and their proper end. And what he does is he lays out and this is going to be harsh as you're listening to this, but it's like the 12 theses that Martin Luther placed on the, was it Wittenberg or whatever, in the door of the church, which started the whole Reformation or the...
But the Protestant Reformation.
The Reformation, but we say Reformation, but really it was, there needed to be a restoration, but it didn't reform, but it divided, mm-hmm. you know.
Yes.
In any case, the Monsignor speaks about the crisis in the church, the lack of order, that some of the gravest disorders to be found within the very ranks of holy orders, bishops, priests, deacons, that what's before us is a picture of disorder, confusion, and denial up to the highest ranks, both nationally and internationally. There are exceptions, no doubt, but the fact is the overall atmosphere is one of unholy disorder, brought about by the very ones ordained to bring holy order. And he listed 12 theses, okay? Go through these very quickly. And it's hard, but it's true, that the faith is openly betrayed and denied by renegade bishops, even whole conferences of bishops and heads of religious orders. Synods sow confusion and division rather than clarity or unity. Number one, in his opinion. Number two, teaching is on holiday. Silence in the face of error is rampant, and listening without limit is called magisterial. Ambiguous euphemisms that violate Catholic anthropology, doctrine, and sacred tradition are adopted uncritically. Number three, there are wandering celebrity priests who promote the LGBT agenda without any reference to repentance or chastity. Policies that deny the Lord's clear words on divorce and marriage and ignore St. Paul's admonitions about Holy Communion are proposed and adopted. Legitimate questions and requests for needed clarifications are met with silence. People are asking, please clarify, let's have some clarification. And that request is met with silence. Number four, Catholic colleges openly teach dissent without any correction from the bishops, and there is a tolerance of a moral life among their students that would shock even the most pagan of ancient Greeks and Romans. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I just think of the years ago. Do you remember it? I'm not even going to mention the name of the university, but not too far from here, not in Chicago, but a very famous Catholic university. They would celebrate the Gay Film Fest week, a week of game, mm-hmm. the Gay Lesbian Film Fest. Yeah. But they rejected. They wouldn't allow the students to show the Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, I remember.
Just a very blatant, stark example. Number five, liturgical abuses have abounded and remained uncorrected for decades. Absolutely. Liturgical abuses have abandoned and remained uncorrected for decades. In the seminaries and within the priesthood, homosexual predation by an apparent network of priests has gone on for years along with cover-ups, denials, and secret payouts. It's a fact. It's out there. Don't turn a blind eye to it. Don't pretend it's not real. Forget the silence. Number 7, the number of states initiating grand jury investigations is increasing daily. The federal investigation into abuse by Catholic priests now includes every diocese in the country. Number 8, mass attendance has been declining for years, leading to the closing of numerous parishes and schools. There has been an almost complete loss of Christendom in the last or past 60 years. Number 9, scandals continue to arise. The Vatican Bank has been plagued by scandal for years. A drug-fueled homosexual orgy reportedly took place in the summer of 2017 in the apartment of a high-ranking Vatican prelate. There have been seemingly arbitrary dismissals of bishops and priests both within the Vatican and elsewhere. Number 10, the Holy Father himself is surrounded by questionable figures who are at the very heart of the current crisis. He has received credible, largely corroborated allegations by a former nuncio that he and others knew of the illicit activities of former Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. Number 11, in response to the crises from Rome, there has been silence, name-calling of those requesting investigations, and only occasionally promises to look into the matters. Number 12, the last one, the faithful are dismayed by the chaos. And that is a fact. Any Catholic who loves the church, is devoted to the faith, are dismayed by the chaos. Even prior to the current sexual and financial scandals, the general stance of this pontificate has been artfully described as weaponized ambiguity. Some of the most confusing and strange things have been said and done by the Pope and then left unexplained. Many of the faithful who love the Church and love the Holy Father have been placed in the highly awkward position of having to openly express their dismay, their sadness, and their confusion. So the picture of disorder is extreme. He says, if it's too extreme, I beg your mercy, you know. And the priest says, and it's true, and I say it as well, we're trained. And by our nature as Catholics and as priests, we're reluctant to recite a litany of disorder. Even we admit to the fear of retribution if we do so. But we're I say this is a tipping point, you know, this has to be addressed. This is anywhere you go, people are talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even the students, you know, you think the eighth graders don't know?
Yeah.
And so what do you say? But if the church is going to be smug, silent, arrogant, ambivalent about all this, or just pretend, well, it's not real, it's all going to go, you know, no, we're here suffering in the trenches.
Right.
In the trenches, trying to keep the faith, propagate the faith, live the faith, love the faith and bring others to love what's been handed down to us.
I expect much more from the church. It feels to me like this is what happens outside, and we need to be above this.
We've got to be above. We absolutely have to be above
this.
So anyway, this is a very Nick. We'll take a break. We'll a final break. We'll come back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony, listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation. one way or the other. Monday evening, November 26th at 7 at St. Bernard Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, Father Thomas J. Loya will be a presenter in a panel about the turmoil in the church, the topic, scandals, honesty, and hope. Monday, November 26th at 7 p.m. at St. Bernard Catholic Church, 13030 West 143rd Street, Homer Glen, Illinois. Sponsored by the multi-parish Respect Life Ministries of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, St. Bernard's, St. Francis of Assisi, Our Lady of the Woods, St. Michael, and Our Lady of Good Counsel.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we wrap up. We are wrapping up. We're not just kind of wrapping up. But, you know, so this is these 12 theses, you know, as the bishops prepare for this summit or whatever it is, or in conferences next week, the picture is bleak. There are bishops who are very courageous and have taught well during these dark days. But as the bishops, you know, prepare to meet, you know, this article, this commentary is begging them, as we're here begging, please hear a cry, the cry of the heart, not just from the priest, but from so many of the faithful who must live with the disorder in the church, that we who are in holy orders, we have every obligation to correct. Our credibility is nearly non-existent, and there's need for repentance, not only for sorrow, but for strong amendment, as Monsignor Pope goes on to say. Recommitment to the Lord's doctrinal and moral teaching. We have to strive to live it ourselves and be serious about reproving dissenters and serial violators and removing them from the ranks. We have to honestly call out sin and refer to it by its proper name. Speak no less plainly than did Jesus and the apostles, you know, no less plainly, who used words like sodomy, fornication, adultery, greed, hatred, divorce, heresy, you know, resorting, as he says, to vague terms like woundedness, clericalism, the abuse of power only diminishes our credibility. It is what it is. And at the same time, you know, I say God is incomprehensible love and mercy, but it goes back to the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear the Lord your God, obey his commandments. And if you don't, what do we expect? That at the end of all things, we're, you know, otherwise we perpetuate into the kingdom of God the disorder that is present in the world. We're in a battle together. We fight the good fight, but what diminishing the full counsel of God, the truth, is not doing service to anyone. Perhaps, if anything, it's putting their very salvation at risk. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. I'll give you the remedy. How do we respond or react, or what do we do? I'll tell you tomorrow. Come back. Be with us. Father Anthony, you're listening to Listen to Supportive of Change. Thanks very much for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
So sit on the fence. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.